Welcome to the Vineyard, and here's what we're going to talk about today. If you've been around the Vineyard for any length of time, you've heard us say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. It's like a favorite prayer here at the Vineyard. Come Holy Spirit. Actually, let's see a show of hands. How many people have heard that here at the Vineyard? Come Holy Spirit. A few of you. How many have actually prayed that? Come Holy Spirit. How many have ever wondered, why do they keep saying, come Holy Spirit? Don't they know God's everywhere? He's already here. Anyone thought that? No one's willing to. There's a guy that's willing to admit it. It's not that, right? We know. We don't pray, come Holy Spirit, because we think God's gone on vacation, right? That he's not paying attention. He's always here. He is always active. We pray, come Holy Spirit, because we want more. We want more of our lives surrendered to him. We want more insight into what he's already doing. We want more power to be able to obey and see his kingdom come. This simple prayer, come Holy Spirit, is like at the heart. It is really super important to the Vineyard. Actually, if you go way back to the olden days, you know, like the 1980s, when the Vineyard got started in California, there was a guy, John Wimber. He had one of the first churches, and Wimber invited a guy to come and speak, a guest speaker, Lonnie Frisbee. And Lonnie was this hippie, you know, Jesus people guy. And so he comes and he speaks, and at the end of his talk, he says this simple prayer, come Holy Spirit. And he does. All heaven breaks loose. The power and the presence of God. Those people, they went out and they told hundreds, thousands of people about Jesus. There were miracles and healings, freedom from addiction. Yeah, in a way, the whole Vineyard movement, the hundreds, thousands of churches now have come out of this simple prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Today, if you go to virtually any Vineyard church, you will hear that prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, this prayer doesn't belong to the Vineyard. It is actually an ancient prayer. I love the way the Vineyard pastor, Steve Nicholson, talks about this. He says, come, Holy Spirit, did not originate with John Wimber. We are merely the latest generation to embrace it. It has its roots back in the earliest prayers of the first church fathers and mothers, the first generation after the apostles to carry the flame of the gospel forward. This prayer is not just some oddity of 21st century Western Christianity. It is part and parcel of Trinitarian theology, a beloved prayer of every generation of believers before us. You are in very good company when you pray, come, Holy Spirit. And it's not just an old prayer. No, it is a powerful, even a dangerous prayer. If you think about it logically, Jesus, he had to be telling the truth when he said this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Because he had to be telling the truth, because there's no way that his ragtag group of misfits, that they could have changed the world without the Holy Spirit's power. Because they had nothing. They had no money, no social capital, no political, military might. They had no real intellectual skill. Nothing. All they had was this offensive message that we're all sinners. We are sinners and we are doomed. But this poor carpenter, this traveling teacher, Jesus, turns out he's actually the Son of God. And he showed up to pay the price for our sins, die on the cross for us, to give us his perfection, his righteousness, to be king of this world. All they had was this far-fetched story and the Holy Spirit. And they literally changed the world. They changed the world. Come, Holy Spirit, is such a powerful prayer. It is full of power. I love the way that another Vineyard pastor, Cindy Nicholson, she talks about this. Come, Holy Spirit, is a direct, bold request for the Spirit to do the work the Father wants to do in us, and to be the fire that propels us out to do the work the Father wants to do through us. The words are not magic. Oh, how many times have we found that out the hard way? We have to actually expect the Spirit to accept our invitation. Come, Holy Spirit, is a prayer best prayed with willingness to welcome surprise and unpredictability. When we pray this prayer, we never know what will happen next. Most of us love the image of Aslan in C.S. Lewis's Narnia books as good but not tame. It's another thing entirely to meet this not tame Holy Spirit in real life. But nothing beats the joy of seeing the Spirit come and do what we are powerless to do in our own strength. Go ahead, pray this prayer. Your life will never be dull again. Sounds exciting. Well, let's dive deeper into this, okay? Let's talk about what it looks like to have this happen in our lives. Well, I tell you, Jesus, he actually gave his disciples like a, a pep talk before he went to the cross. You can actually read it in the book of John. It's in chapters 14 through 17. He's encouraging them. He's comforting them. But he's also giving them the hard truth, the fact that he's going to leave and the world is going to hate them. It's going to look bad. And yet the Holy Spirit is coming and there will be joy and peace. And Jesus says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Okay, so when we pray, "Come Holy Spirit," we're asking God to show us that he has overcome the world. We're asking him to make this world perfect again with miracles and healing and to, you know, his kingdom to come, his will to be done like it is in heaven. It is a powerful prayer. Now, it's easy for us, though, to think that that stuff just happens like out there, right? It happens out there, where so much of it actually needs to happen in here, in us. So much of it. Jesus, right? When he says, when we pray, "Come Holy Spirit," one of the big things we're going to get is an advocate, which sounds good, right? Yeah, I want my own advocate. Till we realize that the advocate is coming to prove us wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. You see how dangerous this is? Come, Holy Spirit, and prove me wrong. Let's make this more personal. In your life, has the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin, righteousness, and judgment? If you're a follower of Jesus, he has all three, sin, righteousness, and judgment. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're still paying attention, this may be a little confusing, right? Actually, a lot of what we're going to talk about today is can be a little confusing, even upsetting. Because when it starts to make sense to you, that's a miracle. That's the Holy Spirit at work. Because the stuff that the Holy Spirit does with sin and righteousness and judgment, it's not normal in this world. It's confrontive. It is dangerous. Just take sin, right? The normal view in our world is no one wants to be convicted of their sin. No. It's not good. Actually, it's the opposite. Take this illustration. If you have a friend and they get bit by a super deadly snake. Now, you watch a lot of Discovery Channel, so you recognize this snake. And you're like, "Oh, wait, that's bad. We need to get you to the hospital. There's an antidote for that." But your friend isn't like, "Oh, no, it's a cute snake. And now I'm super tired, so let me just lie down on the floor." It would be super good if you could prove to your friend that they're in trouble, right? They need to get to the hospital. If you can convict them that they are full of deadly poison. Same deal with the Holy Spirit and sin. He proves to us what's really true. Then take righteousness. The normal view in our life is, in our world, is, okay, maybe I'm a sinner, but I'm not so bad, right? I'm better than lots of people. You know, I can fix this thing. You know, sure, I got bit by a super deadly snake, but I can just suck the poison out. Actually, no. Don't suck the poison out. I Googled it. It's the wrong thing to do. It doesn't work. Same thing with sin. You can't suck the sin out. It doesn't work. The Holy Spirit's job is to prove that to us, to show us that we can't help ourselves, that our self-righteousness just gets in the way of Jesus and receiving his righteousness, his perfection is a gift to us. And finally, judgment. Judgment. The common view, what most people think is, who wants judgment? I don't want to be judged. And also, we look at this world and all the evil in it, and we think, wow, sure looks like Satan's in charge in this world. Nope. Judgment is about who's in charge, who's king, and it ain't Satan. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is Lord. And it may not appear that way all the time, but if we are followers of Jesus, we are safe from evil in this world. And also, the judge, Jesus, he intends to rule in our lives. He has a purpose for each of our lives. Where are we at with all of this, right? Sin, righteousness, judgment. You know, I know in my life, sometimes I need to be reminded that I am a sinner and I can't fix myself. I am not righteous on my own. And Jesus is King of everything. Come, Holy Spirit, even now, and prove the truth to us. Help us to accept the truth. Come, Holy Spirit. Well, I tell you what we're going to do today. That prayer, come Holy Spirit, we're going to dive even deeper into it and unpack it. Absolutely. We're going to see how when we pray, come Holy Spirit, we are surrendering our lives. It's part of surrendering our lives to God. Part of it is listening to God, what he wants, what his will is in our life. And then it's actually asking for the power to obey, to do his will. It's a big deal. And I want to tell you, it shouldn't just all be talk today, right? Where we want to get to for each and every one of us is that we can pray, come Holy Spirit, for ourselves. Pray it expecting the Holy Spirit to show up, expecting transformation in our lives, God working in us and through us. That's what we're after today. So let's ask God for that. Why don't you join me in prayer? God, I invite you here even more. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We need your presence. We need your love. Just fill this room with your power. Change us to be more and more like Jesus. And I ask, God, that we are able to open ourselves up to that, to you right here and right now. Amen. All right, so I used to live in New York City, and when I did, we went to church, church on Fifth Avenue, and every week the pastor would say, he'd get up and say, now together let us dare to pray the Lord's Prayer. And so then we would pray the Lord's Prayer. You know, maybe you've heard it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive us our, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, a lot of us know this prayer, right? Sometimes the pastor would explain why we were daring to pray it, why this prayer was so dangerous. It's the part about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because when we pray that, we're praying for that to happen in us too. And many of us, we don't really want God's will to be done. We'd much rather have our will be done. You know what I'm talking about? Can you think of a place in your life where you'd rather do what you want than what God wants? That's what we're talking about. See, it turns out the Lord's Prayer is a dangerous prayer, just like come Holy Spirit. Actually, it's the same danger in both. As the Vineyard theologian Derek Morphew says, to pray, let your kingdom come, or to pray, come Holy Spirit, amounts to exactly the same thing. Both are these incredible acts of surrender. Now, many of us, we want God in charge of our lives, in theory, right? We're reluctant to actually let go and let him take control, to surrender, right? We think that our way, there's a way and it's our way. Our way is a better way, right? Don't I know best how to live my life? The Bible actually says something about that. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Think about it, right? What got us to the place we are now, right? Here's where we are now. Where we want to get is to be like Jesus, right? We want the good life. But what got us here? I don't know. Maybe some bitterness, impatience, a little bit of anger thrown in. Maybe a few white lies. I don't know. Harshness here and there. Some lack of self-control. That got us here. But it's not going to get us there to the good life. A life of wholeness and peace and joy. No. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us to actually surrender our will to your will. We give you permission to bend our will to your will. Yeah, come, Holy Spirit, and give us what the Bible says. Give us the gift that it promises. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Yeah, that's what we're after, walking in step with the Spirit. Our lives surrendered to Him, our wills wanting what He wants. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, I can see that, right? I can see some progress, some parts of my life that He's got now, that He controls. But I can also see some places that still need to change, right? Where I still need to surrender. And you know what? We can press into this. We totally can. You know, for example, when we get upset at someone, right? When we get mad or annoyed with someone, we can pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, give me kindness and gentleness so I don't punch them in the nose." Or you know, we can pray when we're down and we're anxious or overwhelmed, "Come, Holy Spirit, I need peace. I need joy." Or when we're about to give in to our addiction, right? We just can't stop with the binge watching or the shopping, the gambling, the eating, the drugs, alcohol, porn, whatever it is. "Come, Holy Spirit, I need self-control. I need forbearance. I need you to fill this hole." Right now, can we see a place in our lives that isn't really surrendered to God? A place where we need help. Fruits of the Spirit. You know, maybe something's off at work or in our marriage with our children, or maybe it's how we use our time or our money or sexuality. Well, right now, can we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," and surrender to Him? Just surrender it to Him. "Come, Holy Spirit." All right, a big part of praying, "Come, Holy Spirit," is this act of surrender, surrendering our will, what we want, to God. But there's more, because I think a big reason a lot of us aren't surrendering, why we're not getting in on the good life, is because we're confused. We don't really know what God wants, right? Now, of course, we know a lot about what God wants. We know He doesn't want us to lie and cheat and steal and kill people, right? We know all that, but that's what he doesn't want us to do. What does He want us to do? Yeah, what exactly should we do with our money? With our jobs, our careers, you know, how exactly should we love the people around us? Well, praying, "Come, Holy Spirit," is asking God to speak, right? It's praying, saying, "Come, Holy Spirit," it's a way of saying, "I'm listening, God. What are you doing?" I'll tell you, as a pastor, this is one of the questions people ask me the most. What does God want me to do? What does He want me to do? And it's a legit question, right? Discernment is important. You know, we get to crossroads in life and we're like, which way should I go? What's the best thing to do? But I got to tell you, God is not like a gumball machine full of answers, right? You don't put in your prayer and out comes your answer. It's not how it works. He wants relationship with us. The more we get to know Him, the more we hear from Him. So sure, we can pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," once, and He absolutely could give us the answer. But I tell you, that's different than every day getting up in the morning and praying, "Come, Holy Spirit, God, what are you doing today? Show me what you're doing today." Do that, and we start to see what God wants. What we need is a lifestyle of praying, "Come, Holy Spirit," and listening to God. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to guide us. He wants to show us the truth. I mean, we read it before. Remember what it said? "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth." Or check this out. "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." I love that, because I need help understanding how good, sometimes I really need help understanding how good this following Jesus business is. You know, I need to see that what He wants me to do really is always the best for me. Yeah, here's the deal, right? God is always at work. He's always at work in us, in the people around us. "Come, Holy Spirit," is a way of saying, "God, I'm looking. I want to listen and hear. I want to see what You're doing so I can join in, so I can be part of it." Debbie Wright, she's the national director of the Vineyard in the UK and Ireland. Here's how she describes this. She says, The central prayer in our liturgy is, "Come, Holy Spirit." It is there for such an incredibly important reason. Ultimately, we will never understand Christianity without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lights the way and urges us forward. Through being filled with the Holy Spirit, we can see enough to make a step of faith, to notice the person in our work environment that God is speaking to us about, to be bold in offering prayer to our neighbor as the Spirit leads us. And when we need wisdom, we are able to ask the Spirit of God. For us, do we see what God is doing around us? Do we see it? Is he nudging us towards a sick relative or a coworker who's going through a divorce, or, you know, maybe it's, you know, some other person in our life that's hurting, a neighbor who just moved in? Do we see? If we're not sure, well, come, Holy Spirit, show us what you're doing. And come, Holy Spirit, and show us how we can join in, how we can be part of it, part of loving people, part of pointing them to Jesus, part of making this world perfect again. God, again, he has a purpose for each of our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, show us what you'd have us do. And I'd also say, this is a big way, a big part, you know, listening to God, doing what he wants. This is a big way of how we want to pray for people here at the Vineyard. Absolutely. And it's something that we can practice and get better and better at. There is a cool story, actually, of John Wimber, and once how he prayed for someone after a service. They had ministry time. Woman came up. She wanted prayer for her arthritis and her stomach. She was in pain. And so Wimber starts to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." He's listening to God, and he gets this sense that this woman, she has some anger in her life. So he asks her, and she's like, no, there's no, I'm not angry at anybody. Nope, nobody at all. There's no anger. Let's pray about my arthritis. So he keeps praying. He thinks, you know, he's listening to God and these impressions he's getting. And he asks her, "Wait a minute, are you angry at your sister?" Now she is shocked and she's like, "How did you know that?" And out it all comes, right? All the bitterness and anger and just flows right out. And so Wimber prays for that because it looks like that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And he encourages her to forgive her sister. Well, this woman leaves and she writes a letter to her sister. And she takes it and she drops it in the mailbox. And the minute she does, her pain starts to disappear. And within 3 days, all her symptoms are gone. Gone. See, it turns out that's what the Holy Spirit was doing. It was forgiveness with a side of healing. Now, Wimber got to join into that, right? He got to be part of that because he prayed, "Come, Holy Spirit," and he listened. And then he got to be part of what God was doing. That's how we want to pray here at the Vineyard, right? We want to pray like that in small group, at the food shelf for the guests that come. We want to pray like that at work and at home throughout our lives. And yeah, there's going to be some awkward silence while we're listening to God. But that awkward silence is totally worth it to know what God's doing and join in on it. I tell you, even today, we're going to have ministry time here at the end. You can come forward. And one of the reasons we do that is so there's space to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," and to listen for what he might be doing in your life. If you've never come up for prayer before, why not come up today? And let's just listen and find out what he might want to do in your life. Come, Holy Spirit. All right. So, come, Holy Spirit. A big part of it is surrendering our lives to God. Another big part of it is listening to what his will is and doing it. But there's more. You know what? Knowing what God wants ain't that much good if we don't do it, right? We have to actually do it. We need to obey. Back, we looked at Galatians 5, right? Walking in step with God, the fruits of the Spirit. Well, just before that part in Galatians, there's another part that's maybe not quite as cheery, but I'm going to read it for you now. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." Boy, that should be on my fridge. "You are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition." Wow, is Paul watching TV in America? This sounds so much like our world. "Dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ouch. We need to obey. I mean, no one wants to be doomed, right? No one wants to miss out on the good life here and in heaven. And let's not kid ourselves, right? We have desires of the flesh, right? We do this stuff sometimes. Let's be honest, we do. It's not good enough just to know what God wants. We actually need to do it, to obey. So do we just need to try harder? You know, try harder. No. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was a Welsh pastor and medical doctor. He loved asking people, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And when they would say, I'm trying, the good doctor knew that they had no idea what following Jesus was really about. We actually talked about this before, okay? Do you remember? This is a pop quiz. Before the Holy Spirit convicts us, he proves us wrong about righteousness. You can't suck the poison out yourself. It ain't any good to try. We have to give up on ourselves. That's how we start following Jesus, and that's how it continues, actually. Because we can know what God wants, but we can't do it. Not on our own, not for long. We need his power. Praying, come Holy Spirit, is a way of saying, God, give me the power to do what you want. And I don't know about you, but I need to pray that over and over again. It's like I leak, right? I need his power to keep doing that, right? And God's been incredibly generous with me. He's done incredible things in me and through me. But I'll tell you, on any given day, I can come home and my kids are fighting. And I'm annoyed at my wife for some dumb reason. And the dog has peed on the floor. And I don't have the power to love them. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I love the way Rich Nathan, another Vineyard pastor, he talks about this. Like, following Jesus is a left foot, right foot process. It's just left foot, right. It's not like we instantly get to be like Jesus. Boom. No, it's all these little acts of surrender. Left foot, right foot. Now, let me tell you, we need the Holy Spirit's power for each and every step. Right? We need a lifestyle of praying. Come, Holy Spirit. I need your power to do this. I love the way that Di Lehman, another Vineyard pastor, she talks about this playing out in her life. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit radically, and I mean radically, changed my life. He made the Word come alive, showed me Jesus is a healer, and gave me fresh confidence to pray. And now, over 37 years later, he continues to bring miraculous transformation in and through me. The Vineyard equipped me to naturally, supernaturally share the gospel and freely ask, can I pray for you right now? Putting my trust in the Holy Spirit to bring just the right gifts needed for the person I am praying for at that moment. And this precious, powerful Holy Spirit fills me every day with his nature and character, empowering me to reflect Jesus wherever I go, whatever I do. Jesus did not leave us as orphans, but he has come to live permanently inside us. It baffles me that people still debate about and reject the Holy Spirit. I, for one, cannot live without him. Come, Holy Spirit. I love you. Cool. That is a lifestyle. That's a lifetime of praying, come, Holy Spirit, asking for his power to obey, seeing his kingdom come. Now, what about us? Do we see places in our lives where we need God's power to do what he wants, to do his will? I think for many of us, it's personal transformation, right? We see how we need to change to be more like Jesus, but we are stuck where we are. We need his power. Well, let's ask for it. Come, Holy Spirit. And make yourself, make God first in my life. Maybe we made something else first in our lives. It could be our job or money, sex, whatever it is we've made first. Come, Holy Spirit, and make yourself first, the most important thing in my life. Or come, Holy Spirit, and free me from this addiction. Give me the strength to say no over and over again. Come, Holy Spirit, I need change. or come Holy Spirit and just help me to take time for people to love them, or help me to take time for you, God, to read my Bible and pray and go to small group. Come Holy Spirit. Where are the places we need transformation that we need to pray? Come Holy Spirit. I think for others of us, the power we need, it has to do with the Holy Spirit. God's next step for us is to help God's kingdom come in other people, right? God's asking us to do something, and we're not engaging. We're not going for it. We need him. You know, maybe it's that a struggling friend or coworker, someone we keep seeing, and we just feel powerless to help them. Well, come Holy Spirit and give us the courage to ask, can I pray for you right now? Or maybe God's been calling us to serve, to help out maybe with the kids downstairs or in the food shelf or help plant a church, whatever it is. Well, come Holy Spirit and help us today to ask someone, how can I help with that? How can I help? I think often what God does is he points out needs in this world, things that are broken, that need fixing. And those things bug us and they break our hearts. But we're often like, well, what difference can I do? How can I really help? Well, you know, maybe we can't make a difference on our own, but you know, God can make a huge difference. So come, Holy Spirit, and help us to end hunger and homelessness and sex trafficking and racism and loneliness, all these things in our world. Come, Holy Spirit, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit. Do you see, this is a powerful prayer. It is full of power. And I love how simple it is. So simple. You know, sometimes stupid people like me, we need to be reminded to keep it simple. This is simple. It is surrender, listen, obey. Right? When we pray, come Holy Spirit, we are surrendering to God's will. We're saying, I'll do what you want. And then we're listening to find out, what does he want? What is his will? And then we're asking for the power to obey. Surrender, listen, obey, and then repeat. Surrender, listen. It's that simple. So are you ready to pray for yourself? Come, Holy Spirit, and expect that the Holy Spirit will come. There will be transformation in you. He will work in you and through you. I tell you what, why don't you stand up, and we can do that. We can press into this. We have here at the Vineyard something called ministry time. It's just a time to interact with God, to talk to him about the things that we've been talking about. So let's do that now. God, I welcome you here even more. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, in our presence. We need your love. We need your power now in our midst. And God, I know that everyone here is at a different place with regard to you. We're all at different places. Some of us are followers of Jesus, some of us aren't, but I know that all of us need an advocate. We all need you at times to prove us wrong, and I ask that you come now and do that. You show us that we are sinners. We know that. We do things that we shouldn't do. We are sinners. God, also show us, prove to us that we are doomed. We can never fix it ourselves. Only you can. Jesus, on that cross. And Jesus, because of that, you are king. You are the rightful king of this universe and of us. Help us now, God, to surrender to that. Maybe for the first time, and maybe for the millionth time, help us to tell you that we are in. We need you, and we want you, and we love you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, come, Holy Spirit, and I give you permission to bend our wills to your wills. Help us to surrender to what you want in our lives. What you want is the best. It is the good life, full of your presence and your love and your joy. We need that. We need lives full of meaning and purpose, and that's what you promise us. Help us to surrender to that. And I ask, Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, and show us what it is you would have us do in our lives, each of us, what you would want. Now, even God, just shine that bright light of truth on things in our lives that need to change, things that we are doing that we need to stop. Or also, God, shine your light on places where you want us to participate in bringing your kingdom in this world. You know, give us the faces of people that we know that we can make a difference in their lives. We can point them to you. God, now just show us what you would have us do. And then come, Holy Spirit, and give us the power to actually do it, to obey, to be part of making this world perfect again. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, do that through us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward. And these are some folks that are trained to pray for you in a non-weird way. We would love it if you could come forward and let someone pray for you. Maybe right now you're not sure what God wants in your life. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus and you don't know how to really do it. Or maybe you're just not hearing what he's doing in your life, around you, in you. Come and let someone pray. Come, Holy Spirit. This is a safe place to pray that and to hear from God what he's doing and to join in. We'd love to pray that. Maybe right now you know exactly what God's doing. He's speaking to you and you're excited about it. You can't wait. Let's come up and let's pray about that. Let's bless that and welcome that into your life. Or maybe you know what God's doing and you're like, oh no, I don't want that. No, God, I don't think I can do that. That is scary. I'm not sure I could stop doing that. I don't think I could do this thing. If you're kind of freaked out right now, let us pray about that. You know what? Jesus will give you, the Holy Spirit will give you the power you need to actually do that. He always does when he calls us into something. Come and let someone pray for you. Actually, if you need God's power in any area of your life, if you need physical healing, you're struggling emotionally in your relationships, you got financial problems, whatever that place is where you need God's power, come forward and let someone pray for you. God has something for you today. You know, they're going to lead us here in some more worship, and I'm just going to invite you to slow down and stay, just to pray, come Holy Spirit for yourself. Pray it, expect him to come, and see what happens. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.